It's a fairly common misconception that the term chok in the Torah is only used to refer to irrational or mysterious mitzvos whose reasons and logic is withheld from human beings. Chazal interpreted it as such, and indeed there are many usages which are reflective of that meaning, in particular the word zos chukas, Ha'adam asher yamos ba'ohel in Parshas Chukas, in the laws of Paraduma, which ensue and entail, and are clearly the quintessential chok, the quintessential irrational mitzvah. But often in Tanakh, the term chok doesn't refer to something irrational, but something understandable, but foundational. So for example, zos chukas ha-pesach, the laws of Pesach aren't irrational, they all make sense, who can eat, how the korban should be eaten, but they're foundational because the Korban Pesach is at the seminal heart of our identity as Jews, our collective identity as Jews, entering into that covenant on a yearly basis through Korban Pesach. So it's foundational, it's seminal, it's basic. Similarly, in this week's parsha, Im b'chokosai teilechu, v'es mitzvosai tishmeru v'asisem olsam, it's hard to imagine that the Torah, which is launched with the word chokosai, is pitched solely or even primarily on irrational mitzvahs. Typically, when a chok is described as irrational, the converse is a mishpat. In this parsha, the word mishpat in that first pasuk doesn't occur. So evidently, the employment of the term b'chokosai telecho in parshas b'chokosai is not referring specifically to that angle which Chazal interpreted of irrational versus rational, but rather to mitzvahs that are foundational. In this case, the mitzvahs are the foundation of our warrant to live in Israel, of our well-being and welfare as a people. If we fulfill the mitzvahs, that foundation is solid and our presence is stable. If we violate the mitzvahs, then the foundation is wobbly and our presence is eliminated and we're exiled from the land and we suffer through galus. How does the word chok become a byword for something which is foundational? Chukas ha-pesach, b'chukosai teilechu, literally dozens of cases throughout Tanakh. The answer lies in a very interesting pasuk in Mishle, Perek Ches. In Mishle, Perek Ches, Shlomo HaMelech, in the early stages of the Perek, announces Hashem kanani reishis darko, Hashem acquired me at the beginning of his route, or the beginning of his process. So this is a reference to Brias Olam, to Hashem having acquired man before Brias Olam, either personal man or the species of man. Hashem kanani reishis darko. Because of that introduction in Pasuk Chaf Beis, the ensuing psukim, actually midway through the parak, the ensuing psukim describe the scene before Maisa Bereishis, before creation, or the process of creation. So this is an interesting perspective on Brias HaOlam. And Rabbi Soloveitchik developed this idea in towards the tail end of his Sefer Ish HaLacha. When we read Parshas Bereishis, we're entering in the middle of a process. We're not seeing the very beginning, and the grammar suggests that Bereishis Bar Elokim, when Hashem began to form this planet. But there was a creation before this planet. And that reality is reinforced by the presence of material before Maisa Bereishis, as Parshas Bereishis describes it, begins. V'ruach Elokim merachefes al pnei hamayim. There's water covering the entire reality before the Shesh Yisimei Bereishis begin. V'haretz haisa sohu vavohu. Sohu vavohu is a void, a vacancy, but there's something there. So Hashem is entering the scene in the first pasuk of Parshas Bereishis of our Torah in a mid-stage, not at the earlier stage where there's nothing, the purest ex nihilo, where Hashem creates something from nothing. Rabbi Soloveitchik developed the notion that there was a void, and Hashem carved out a circle within that void to create space for our cosmos and to create space for human reality which otherwise couldn't exist with that overwhelming sahu vavohu. This carving of a circle is described by a pasuk in Mishlei, Parakhes, which associates two words that sound the same, differ by one letter, but ultimately, and a very important letter, because it's a letter that may seem similar, and that captures the essence of creation. This is the pasuk. Be'achino shamayim, when Hashem created the heavens. Shamani. Bechugo chug, when Hashem carved. Chuko chet vav kuf. Bechugo chug chet vav gimel, when he carved a circle. Al pene sehom, on the abyss. Notice those two words that are associated, that are juxtaposed. One ends with a kuf, one ends with a gimel. Bechuko chug. Keep in mind that gimel is the third letter, and kuf is the third to last letter. So through the associative linkage of at bashgar, kuf is equivalent to gimel. Three in, three backwards from the end. Kuf, resh, actually it's a little bit, kuf, resh, shin, tuf. It's off by one, I have to apologize. Kuf, resh, shin, tuf. It's a fourth from the end. These two words that are associated, bechuko, chug, in the context of the pasuk in Mishlei, describe HaKadosh Baruch Hu creating that circle within which our cosmos exists, but beyond which the tohu vavohu that reigned and that covered entire reality before Hashem created this world still exists. Hashem didn't eliminate tohu vavohu according to this pasuk in Mishlei. He merely carved out chuko chug. Now, unrelated to the concept of a chok and parshas bechukosai, this drama that Hashem retained the void, Hashem retained the darkness beyond the boundaries of the space he created for our cosmos, that darkness and void can still overwhelm our reality. And it can overwhelm our reality cosmologically in terms of how the cosmos functions, but that's not something we can directly control. But it can also overwhelm our reality morally, because what happens in the moral playing field will affect the cosmos. So the forces of evil can still overwhelm, in this case, human experience, because there's really no conscious experience outside of human experience, even though the cosmos is much larger than human experience, but we're at the heart of the cosmos. So what happens in the moral playing field will determine the fitness of our cosmos. And the forces of evil and of hatred can still overwhelm human experience. And religious people have to maintain moral fitness, and of course religious fitness, not just moral fitness, and bring condition to this world to so to speak, deter the tohu vavohu, in this case, moral tohu vavohu, from overwhelming humanity and, of course, affecting the cosmos. So, according to Rabbi Soloveitchik, Hashem didn't banish or eliminate tohu vavohu, he just created space, bechuko chug. And the metaphor for this reality, this give and take between tohu vavohu and our cosmos, the metaphor for this is, of course, the water, because the water loosely is associated with tohu vavohu in Bereshis. V'haaretz ha'isa sohu vavohu v'ruach Elokim merachevas al hamayim. So the waters are raging and covering all of human reality. And Hashem, when he creates the circle, as it's described in Mishlei, well, the parallel to that in Bereshis is Hashem collecting waters and maintaining their boundaries so that continental dry land can occur. So what in Mishlei is described as creating a circle within the void, in Sefer Bereshis is described as creating dry land within the abyss of the ocean, which is simply uncontrollable and unmanageable by human beings. And whether it's the exact same or one is a correspondent to the other, at least it's the same structure of creating space within an overwhelming, raging void. And you can appreciate the fact that the delicacy and the fragility of this balance by walking to the beach and watching the ocean try to conquer back its space over dry land, high tides, in some cases tsunamis, raging oceans, El Niños. But even in the day-to-day rushing of the ocean waves against the dry land, against the beach. You're essentially seeing the waters trying to return to their original state of covering all of our world, all of our planet. And Hashem creates a boundary, and the beach is a boundary. The Pesukim in Mishlei that I described before pay special attention to what's happening at the beach. Pasuk Chavtes, Besumo Layam Chuko. Look at that word again. Hashem created his chok on the beach. Well, you wouldn't typically associate a beach with a chok, but the chok is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's foundation preventing the circle from collapsing. The chok prevents the chug from collapsing. Bechino Shamayim Shamani, Pasuk Chavzayin, I'll read again. Bechugo Chug, Hashem carves out the circle up in Esahom. Two Pesukim later, Besumo Layam Chuko, Hashem creates his chok at the seabed. Umayim lo yavru piv, and the waters can't violate his statement, namely that the space for human experience should remain stable. Bechuko, when Hashem created, founded most de'aretz, the foundations of this world. So there you have the word chok associated with most de'aretz, with the foundations. And this is, of course, the most syntactical or linguistic creation of the word chok as a foundation. So what happens at the universal cosmological level, that Hashem creates boundaries of space for his cosmos, but the tahom is still, or the tohu vavohu can still overwhelm, that's the metaphor that you see by walking to the beach and looking at the water crashing against the dry land, and you wonder what is keeping the water, metaphorically, excuse the pun, at bay. It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's word. Of course, we read this in Baruch Hinafshi. Gvul Samta Bal Yavar and Bay Yishuvun Lechasos. Aretz Hashem creates a boundary and prevents the waters from covering dry land, or at a larger level, prevents the Tohu Vavohu from encroaching upon the Yikum, the reality that Hashem created. And of course, this is all happening in fields of activity far beyond human control. We can't control the tides, we can't control the cosmos, but what we can control is the presence of Kedusha versus the overwhelming, raging presence of evil. So what we perform or how we behave in the realm of human experience affects the larger cosmos, the larger Olamos Elyonim. That's why, at some level, Am Yisrael is compared to Chol Asher Al Svas Hayam. Why are the Jews compared to sand? They're already compared to dust of the earth, Ka'afar Haaretz. What does sand add to dust of the earth? After all, they're more or less the same. In human association, human imagination, sand and dust are always seen as the ground. So why are we compared to sand in addition to being compared to afar? Is because we're at the forefront of this process of controlling and maintaining a world of human experience through our behavior and preventing the sea, metaphorically, from overwhelming humanity as it did in the days of the Mabul, where man degenerated to such a degree that the world was returned to Sahu Vavohu, or the waters that Hashem had collected and had contained to allow human experience once again raged and overwhelmed humanity. So that's why Jews are compared to the beachfront, and that's why the beachfront is the metaphor for a larger reality of Sahu Vavohu being kept out of the circle by HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Chok. So this is where Chok becomes associated with a foundation, not just an irrational mitzvah. And this is the association between the word chok and chug. The chug is the circle that Hashem carves out through his chok. Chok means carving out. And that carving happens at the foundation of reality, when Hashem is establishing space and all of reality. And the word chok means something foundational. In Parshas Bechukosai, of course, the word chok refers to Torah, Bechukosai. So by extension, the meaning or the connotations of Parshas Bechukosai is to remind us that Torah is foundational. Not just is Pesach foundational to Torah or to Jewish identity, not just are the mitzvos that are foundational, but all of Torah is foundational. And of course, in the literal level, it's foundational to human experience in Eretz Yisrael, to Jewish existence in Eretz Yisrael. But at a larger level, and here's the Medrash for this week, at a larger level, Torah is a chok because it is through Torah that Hashem created space, and through Torah that Hashem created the universe, because Torah is the will of Hashem. So all of creation can be seen in Torah if we just knew it well enough. And this is Chazal's language. Source number, looking at a source sheet, I apologize, is in Parshas Bechukosai, Parsha Lamed Hei. In Bechukosai Teilechu, Chukim Shebohem Chakakti Es HaShamayim V'haaretz. Torah is the wisdom through which I carved out the space, and I continued not just to carve out the space, but I carved out reality within that space. I wasn't just chuko, chug. I didn't just carve out the circle, but I carved out and engraved most dozarets, the entire foundation of the universe. Everything the universe is based upon Torah. And the Medrash quotes the Pasuk in Yirmiyah, which says it's a little bit different, but also highlights the word chok. Yirmiyah, Perek Lamed Gimel, Im lo brisi yomim v'laylef, not for my covenant, day and night of Torah, chukos shamayim v'aretz lo samti. So the foundations and the laws of heaven and earth would shrivel. And, of course, this is adapted by the Gemara in Nedarim, Lamed Aleph, and Beis, that if not for Torah, the world would collapse, because the world is built upon the logic of Torah. And if Torah isn't studied, then the world's foundations wither. And this was a very interesting Gemara, adopted by the Yeshiva in Volozhin, which took this seriously. The general meaning of the Gemara is that if Torah disappears from our earth and Hashem's presence is obscured, then the earth will disintegrate. But in Volozhin, they took this Gemara very literally, that if Torah isn't studied for 1 minute, then the world will collapse. And hence they handed out shifts throughout the entire early morning hours and late night hours. There's always someone on duty, like a watchman, a centurion, a sentry, to watch the world and to watch the universe through studying Torah. So people had to learn from 2 to 3, or from 3 to 4, even though there wasn't the normal time for Yeshiva Bachram to study, because without Torah study, the world would collapse. The Medrash continues, quotes another pasuk in Yirmiyah, Parak Laman Aleph, Kromar, Hashem, Nasein, Shemesh, Lor, Yomam, Chukos, Yireach, V'Kochavim. Again, the terms not just Chukos, Shamayim, V'Aretz, but Chukos, Yireach, V'Kochavim, the foundation and the laws of the planets. And several psukim in Yirmiyah, as well as Mishlei Perachas. So, just to repeat, the word Chok is typically interpreted by Chazal as an irrational mitzvah. It means something additional to a rational mitzvah. Sometimes it means foundations. Zos chukas ha-pesach. Clearly, Parshas Bechukosai is referring to primarily that meaning, the foundations of Am Yisrael's presence in Eretz Yisrael, the mitzvahs, the Torah as the basic agreement, the basic warrant for our being in Eretz Yisrael. The word chok doesn't mean foundation. Primarily, the word chok means to carve, to engrave. Lechakok means to take a stone and engrave something. But since Hashem engraved at the point of creation, He engraved the circle, chuko chug, Mishlei Perachas, He engraved the circle. And He also engraved certain laws to keep that circle intact. The laws, physics, math, chemistry, biology, the natural laws that maintain our cosmos and maintain the order. The metaphor for that The metaphor for that is the waters trying to recover their original space. Merachavis al pnei hamayim, the tohu vavo, trying to cover all of reality. And visiting the beach, you see you're at the seams, so to speak, of Hashem's chukos, of Hashem creating barriers that will prevent the waters from raging as they did during the Mabul. We can't control the beach, we can't control the cosmos, the tohu vavo, but we can control the moral tohu vavo. And the word chok in Mishlei Perachas is associated both with the circle as well as the foundations that maintain the integrity, the structural integrity of that circle against, whether it's metaphorically the waters or the larger forces that could overwhelm our reality, either at a physical level or, of course, the area that we can control at a moral and religious level. So the word chok means to engrave, and the word engrave was used in Mishlei Perachas both to engrave the circle as well as to engrave the foundations of our universe. The Medrash in Parshas Bechukosai reminds us that the tools Hashem used to engrave that circle and to engrave those foundations, those tools are nascent within the Torah. So even though we can't understand the full details of how Hashem engraved it, we can study His Torah, and we can get a glimpse and a glimmer of the chukos shamayim v'aretz. Im b'chukosai telechu, if we don't just follow mitzvos, but we realize these mitzvos are chukim, as the Medrash says, shebohem chakakti shamayim v'aretz. These are the laws and the intelligence or the wisdom through which I engraved shamayim v'aretz.